Thank you, Carla. What she always plays is just beautiful, but that rendition right there of Amazing Grace, man, that was wonderful. I enjoyed that sitting there. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you. We're so glad that you're here on this third Sunday after Pentecost and that we can gather together to worship, come out of the heat for a little bit. Although I had a couple of the ladies tell me last Sunday that they welcomed this 80 and 90 degree heat. And I was like, no, I want to go back to the 70 degree. but we are glad to see all of you this morning. And we are glad that you're here today. And we want to welcome those that may be listening online later in the week. And again, as we're talking about hope in the midst, clinging to hope in the midst of things we face in life, hope is that confident expectation rooted in the faithfulness of God. It's an anchor that holds when everything else is shaken. And as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father.
Join together for our call to worship in the bulletin. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles.
O
magnify the Lord with me. Well, let's join together as we do that, exalting God's name together. As we, if you're in the hymn book, you're 673 this morning, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning.
We've a story to tell to the nation. To dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nation that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nation, that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent us his Son to save us and show us that God is love, and show us that God is love. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, show to the nation who the path of sorrow hath trod, that all of the world, great people, might come to the truth of God. Might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom come to earth, the kingdom and light.
Well, let's join together this morning for our opening prayer there in the bulletin. Compassionate Father, we lift our voices in praise, acknowledging you as the God of all comfort. We thank you that in every trial and seasons of weariness, you draw near to comfort us. Anchor our hope in your faithfulness. We pray that you would establish us, anoint us, and seal us with your Holy Spirit. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we're going to go to 515 if you're using the hymn books. Sweet hour of prayer this morning. Sweet hour of prayer. Going to invite our kids if they would make their way down this morning.
It's just two of you? Just two of you this morning. How are you guys doing? Good? Okay, now I got to ask you a question. Have you... Oh, here they come. I was wondering. Here they come. Come on. That's all right. Yes. Okay. Here. Come here for a second. Come over here closer to us. There we go. There you go. So I don't have to keep looking all the way over here and then back over here. You make me dizzy. You think I'd get dizzy? Nah. Yeah. Maybe I'll get a kink in my neck.
Oh.
Okay. I got a question. So have you ever fallen down and got hurt? Did it hurt bad? Yeah, I remember one time falling down and got hurt really bad. And it hurt. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story here. I don't know if I've ever told you guys this. Can you see this little thing right here? You know what that is? Not my eyebrows, above it. Can you see it? It's hard to see. It's a scar. You know what happened? I was 10 years old, and I was messing around with a piece of farm equipment. And the farm equipment handle got away from me and came back. And so this is the handle, so you put like your hand here, and then it comes down to crank something. it went boom, just like that, knocked me on the ground. Now, I don't know, I could have been out for a little bit, I can't remember, but when I woke up, I was all kind of like, wow, what happened? And I got up, and I started walking in the house, and the next thing you know, there was blood dripping down on my hands. And I was like, oh no, what did I do? Because, you know, this was all kind of numb, so I really couldn't feel it. So I got up to the house, and Grandpa, I was like, Grandpa, I'm pounding on the door. And Grandpa opened the door, and he goes, oh no, like that. And then my dad came, and then my mom. So my mom and dad took me to the emergency room, and they had to put stitches in here, and I'll tell you what Doc Wolf told me, the emergency room doctor. He said he could stick his finger in there and touch the skull right there. That bone right there, he could touch. And I'm laying on the bed there, and he's like, so they numbed it all up, and he was fixing me. I was but then I found out I broke my nose too. Both of them. That was horrible. And I had surgery on my nose because they were concerned about little pieces of bone coming loose and going up into my sinus cavities. I know I'm getting too detailed on that. Anyways, so that was scary. Now, at first, I didn't realize what was going on until I saw the blood. Okay, now, has there ever been a time where you were bleeding when something happened? You know, at first you don't realize it until you start to either see the blood or it gets on you somewhere. And then all it's like, It's scary because nobody likes to get hurt. Well, in our reading today, Paul, the apostle, is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. And he tells about this trauma that he goes through. But he doesn't tell us what it is. But he tells us that the God of all comfort was with him. And I believe that the God of all comfort was with me when I got hit. Even though I didn't know what was going on, God was watching over me. Whenever you got hurt, God was watching over you. And thank God your parents were there real quick, because my parents were there real quick and got me in a car and took me to the emergency room so they could fix it all up, you know. But the God of all comfort, and that word comfort means that God gives us two things, encouragement and strength. Now, how does your mom and dad give you encouragement when you're hurting, or comfort? What do they usually do? There you go, you got it. They give you a hug, don't you? Yes, they give you a hug, and that just feels so good when you get that hug, when you're hurting and in pain. And so that's one of the words. So we get encouragement, but the other part of that, comfort. Encouragement, strength. I needed to have some strength to get up off the ground. I remember the doctor said, did you black out? But I couldn't remember if I did, which means I passed out. You know, fell asleep, so to speak. And then I got up. And thankfully, I got up and I realized what had happened and got up to the house quick. But I had to have that strength to get there. You know, and God gives us strength because nobody likes pain. Nobody likes to get hurt or anything like that. And thank God that God is always with us. And that's encouraging. You know, I always tell you God loves us and God is with us. But what about when we're in pain? What about when we get hurt? God is with us then too. Never leaves us and gives us strength and encouragement. Okay, you guys can go on down this morning.
And while they're heading down that way, we're going to pray for some people this morning that need some strength and encouragement today. And So maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. Yep.
Unspoken.
Okay. Oh, we got lots of. Let's start here. Go ahead. Yeah, I saw her this week, and she was, or this past week, she was doing great and couldn't wait to go home, so.
And Jennifer Conway, that's my cousin in Texas.
What was about Jennifer?
Jennifer is my cousin in Texas.
Yeah, but what's going on?
She's just...
Health issues?
She has double dystrophy, and she's really getting weak.
Okay. Thank you. So we want to remember Bretta, who I happened to see this week at the hospital too. I wasn't going to see her. I ran into her when I was going to see somebody else. And she just wanted hugs. And I told her we had been praying for her, and that really made her day. And and then we want to remember strength for Jennifer and then Ellie. Thank God she's doing much better. Can't wait. I think she wants to get in and work with flowers in her flower beds. Somebody else. Yep. Go ahead.
Steve that we prayed for last week is doing better after his surgery and also unspoken.
Okay. All right. Somebody else. I saw another hand. Go ahead. Okay, so I was having trouble hearing. So was it Lori that was in the accident?
Lori, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So we prayed for last week. Biggs family.
What?
Biggs.
Biggs, okay. Okay. Thank you. Somebody else? Yes. Okay, that's fine. All right. So we want to remember this friend of Ellen's and that great-grandchild. Thank God everything went well, because I remember we were praying for her when you said she had the C-section. I remember we were going to be praying for her. Somebody else.
Brad and I did travel overseas. We're leaving early in the morning for Fort Riley, Kansas for Matthew's Change of Command ceremony, and we're exhausted.
And then they'll come back, and then they're traveling again. So, yes. Yep. So I'm sure you're going to be glad to see Matthew again though.
Yes.
Yes. And others that are traveling, vacations and everything that are all starting and beginning. Any other? Yeah.
Lindsay's flying home Wednesday.
Okay. So we'll throw her in there with the travel and yeah, too. So anybody else? I have lots to kind of give you. Smoke is home. We need to keep him in our prayers. He has pneumonia, which is not good. The family's concerned about that very seriously. And he wanted to come home. Hospice is with him. And so we want to remember Smoke in our prayers and the family. We want to pray for Don, who had a rough go there with his back surgery that kind of turned into a crazy fiasco. He ended up breaking ribs in the hospital when they did the surgery, and nobody believed him. And he checked himself out of the hospital, went home, got bad, and went to, I think it was Kettering, wasn't Brenda where he went to Kettering? And he told him, I think I have broken ribs. They did a CAT scan. Sure enough, he had broken ribs. And he said that the pain in his ribs was what was keeping him from being able to do rehab after he had his back surgery. I'm like, oh my gosh. We talked for an hour and a half. And he's at Vandalia at the rehab center there where Smoke was. And so Don needs our prayers this morning for healing. And he said they've been doing a real good job of trying to adjust the pain meds so that he can do the physical therapy after his back surgery and everything. Ellie, we want to continue praying. Linda Everett has been sick. She had some issues. She had some dental work done and was recovering from that, some dental surgery. And then she got some kind of a cold and cough and sore throat and has been hacking around. And when I talked to her the other day, she goes, I'm going to after hours. I said, you better. I said, don't mess around with that because you don't want to get some kind of infection. And so we need to pray for Linda Everett this morning. We're asking prayers for Jody's sister, Jill. When she had her CAT scan, something showed up on one of her lymph nodes. And so they are going to be doing further tests and a biopsy. And I'm not sure when that's coming up exactly yet. And but that'll be the first step. And if it is what they think it could be again, she may be going to OSU this time around. And so, but we ask your prayers for her this morning. And is there anybody else here before we go to prayer? Yep.
We got a call last night for Roxy Shivington's sister, Cindy. She fell and she hit her head when she fell, and they said that she had a brain bleed and a possible, and I've never heard of this before, a possible brain shift. And they called in a
nurse. So, kind of crazy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it could have been from the jarring and yeah. Okay, so we want to remember Cindy in our prayers this morning. Very serious thing there. It always makes me nervous when we're praying for people with brain bleeds because of if they don't get fixed right, what can happen because of that. So definitely want to keep her in our prayers. Thank you for remembering that and mentioning that. So, all right. Well, lots of names there. If you happen to remember any of them or they come to your mind when you're praying there, encourage you just to lift their name up and I will close us out then. Lord, as we pause today, we are thankful for all that you do in our lives. And we're thankful for Jesus, who came and suffered and gave his life that we might experience the comfort of God in our pain and in our trials, as Paul tells us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you did. It's by your stripes that we are healed. It's by your wounds that we are made whole, and that we can experience comfort and encouragement and strength in the midst of our trials. And Lord, there's so many that were mentioned today. Lord, we just lift up Bretta to you this morning. Thank you for that smile that I saw this past week, and how she just keeps on going and keeps on smiling in spite of what she's been through, and how you just saved her life, God. And we just pray your hand will be upon her, and you will continue to touch her and heal her and strengthen her. And Ellie today, God, continue to do that. Thank you. She was doing so well as I saw her this past week. And God, I'm thankful for that. For Jennifer this morning, God, who just needs your strength and touch and healing there today. And for Greg, Lord, that's going in for all this testing tomorrow and this MRI and everything. We just pray for wisdom and direction and guidance in the midst of all that. And your healing touch to be with him, your strength and encouragement in the midst of all of that. Lord, we lift up Lori this morning. I was in this accident, and God, we pray for the Biggs family, Lord, and all that entire situation there. We pray for the friend of Ellen that couldn't be named, but you know who that is. We lift her up to you, Lord. We pray for Smoke and the family, Lord, that you'll just give them your peace and strength and grace and comfort, Lord. We pray for Don, Lord, for your continued healing of his ribs and recovery and strength and grace in the midst of doing the rehab and all of that. We lift up Linda to you, God, asking for your touch and healing. For Cindy also, God, Lord, we just pray that you will just guide and direct the doctors and surgeons and the neurosurgeons, Lord, and everything there. We just lift her up to you and ask for your healing touch and comfort and strength. We pray for Jill, Lord. We just pray that, God, your healing touch and grace to be with her. And Lord, as they do this a biopsy, Lord, we're just asking for a miracle that they will find that it is not cancer, but there will be a different thing that they can do to take care of that, whatever it may be, God. And Lord, we lift up the monthly list to you, Lord. We just ask for so many of those that just need your healing, your comfort, your strength, your encouragement in what they're facing. We lift up Jody to you this morning, Lord. Pray that tomorrow as she goes for that interview, that you'll be with her and that you will guide. And if that's the door that needs to be opened for that job, that you will open the door wide and let her be able to receive that. And we're thankful for that today. Lord, we lift up all those, the couple of the unspoken needs this morning, and maybe others here today, Lord, that couldn't share. We ask for your healing touch, your direction, your wisdom, your guidance, your grace, whatever is needed in those situations. Provide a need, grace and strength, whatever it may be, Lord, that you will make a way where there seems to be no way, and minister as only you can. And we thank you for that. And we pray for those that are traveling, Lord, in our own community of faith, that are traveling on vacation, and those that are leaving this week, Carla and Brad and Lindsay coming home this week. Lord, that you'll just guide and be with them and give them a safe trip and watch over them. And we thank you for that today. and others that may be traveling in the weeks to come that are heading out on vacation or whatever else. And we thank you for that today. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the rest of our time together as we break the bread of your word. May you just continue to encourage us and strengthen us and remind us that you are working even in the midst of the trials we face in life, and that you're always with us, and we hang on to your comfort and your strength and encouragement in the midst of those times. Thank you for hearing us today as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for praying with us this morning. Appreciate that, and I'm sure the folks that are receiving that appreciate that. I know Chase appreciated your prayers for him. There was a card from the church that he got this week saying we were praying for him, and he's doing better because on Friday he was at the driving range, so you know he's better there. And and then golfing again. So, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And thank you so much for your faithfulness, and that God helps us to meet the needs. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Generous God, bless these gifts with your faithfulness and love, that faith, hope, peace, and love may arise from them, we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And Carla, you must be hitting my number today. Because when that started, that was one of my mom and dad's favorite hymns in the garden. And you even got me tearing up a little bit back here this morning. So, well, we're looking this morning at 2 Corinthians this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 3 through 11. And 2 Corinthians is one of those letters that Paul wrote that is reveals his vulnerabilities more than any other letter. And as he was writing, because there was a rift that happened between the church at Corinth and Paul, somewhere between the writing of his first letter and the second letter. And so this letter in 2 Corinthians is very personable and revealing. So let's look at this. Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father is a merciful God who always gives us comfort. He comforts us when we are in trouble, so that we can share this same comfort with others in trouble. We share in the terrible sufferings of Christ, but also in the wonderful comfort he gives. We suffer in the hope that you will be comforted and saved. And because we are comforted, you will also be comforted as you patiently endure suffering like ours. You never disappoint us. You suffered as much as we did, and we know that you will be comforted as we were. My friends, I want you to know what a hard time we had in Asia. Our sufferings were so horrible and so unbearable that death seemed certain. In fact, we felt we were going to die. But this made us stop trusting in ourselves and start trusting God, who raises the dead to life. God saved us from the threat of death, and we are sure that God will do it again and again. Please help us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks for the blessings we received in answer to all these prayers. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, I heard about a call that cost $100,000 in Michigan. A man decided to write a book about famous churches around the world. So he bought a plane ticket and took a trip to various places like Orlando. And he started working from the south up. On his first day, he was inside a church taking photographs when he noticed this golden telephone mounted on the wall with a sign that said $10,000 per call. The man, being intrigued, asked the priest who was strolling by what the telephone was used for, and the priest replied, "Oh, it's a direct line to heaven, and for that you have to pay $10,000 so you can talk to God." Well, the man thanked the priest and went on his way. Next stop, he was in Atlanta, and there's a very large cathedral, and he saw the same golden telephone with a sign under it. He wondered what this was, because he saw it in Orlando, and he asked a nun that was nearby, and she told him it was a direct line to heaven and it cost $10,000 to talk to God. The man thought, "Oh, okay." Well, he kept moving up further north and further north and further north, and he kept running into the same thing. And he arrives in Ohio, And again, the first church he entered, there was a golden telephone. But the sign under it said, call was 40 cents. The man was surprised, so he asked the priest about it. And he said, hey, Father, I've traveled all over the South and coming up, and I kept noticing that all these golden phones had signs that said it was going to cost $10,000 per call. And why is it so cheap here? And the priest smiled and answered, you're in Ohio now, son. It's a local call. But don't go to Michigan because it might cost you $100,000 a call. There you go. We're not even in football season yet, and I put a little dig in there. This morning, as we continue our series, this will be the second message in this new series that I'm going through, is Clinging to Hope. And today I want to talk to you about comfort in affliction. Now let me start off by saying something, and I want you to grab a hold of this, because this will be important through the entire message this morning, that you just hold on to this, not just today, but anytime. You are not alone in facing the troubles and trials of life. Say it with me. I'm not alone. Let's say it again. I'm not alone in facing the troubles and trials of life. Because so often when we start to go through something terrible, awful, difficult, overwhelming, we feel like we're the only ones going through this. In our reading today, we hear about an unknown trauma, we're not told what it is, that the Apostle Paul and his companions faced in Western Asia that brought them to the brink of despair. It was so overwhelming that they didn't think they were going to survive. But God was with them. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking Paul had every reason to ask why, God, why? But instead, as he tells us in our reading, he discovered the God of compassion and the God of all comfort. Comfort. Here are two things that he learned, at least two that I'm going to focus on this morning. We could probably read more of it and say more, but I want to focus on two here. And the first one is God comforts us so we may comfort others. Again, we're looking at what is God doing in our lives when we go through those times? Because when facing suffering, we set our hope on the God of comfort. Paul tells us that's what they did. When they were going through all of that, and he discovered the God of comfort, and he said a little bit later on, he said, our hope is strong in you, and our hope is set on the God of comfort. And what do we mean by that? Hope is not, and I've said this before, hope is not just a I hope so kind of a thing. You know, well, I hope so. You know, I don't know. I don't know. This is really bad. I hope so. And don't take me wrong. I am not downplaying what you've been through. Because in the last 3 years, Jody and I have had to rely on the God of comfort. But in the last couple months, being a guy and money's involved and income, all of a sudden you have to depend mightily on the God of comfort that can meet our needs in the midst of that. And so the hope is about trusting and waiting and having a confidence for the God of comfort to act in our situations with appropriate grace towards us and others we may know who are facing various afflictions. Remember last week when I told you about that word various? It sounds like polka dot. And I said, you know, polka dots come in all shapes and colors and sizes. And I talked about when you think about various things we go through, you think about polka dots. But here's what I want you to catch hold of that Paul emphasizes. He just doesn't say, hey, we trusted and put our hope in the God of comfort. But the language Paul uses here conveys this idea using this Greek verb parakaleo. Now, in some places, it means to call us to do something for God. God calls us to do something. Or you hear pastors say, God called me to ministry. That's where that word comes from. But on another part of that, speaking of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 17, 14, in there's two chapters that Jesus talks about. He talks about the comforter that's going to come, the paraclete. And it means that God comes alongside of us. Like I was telling the kids, God comes alongside of us to strengthen and encourage us in our trials, our afflictions, our anguish, our distress, our troubles, our pressures that we're facing in life. Why? Why? So we may comfort and bless others, Paul says. What does that mean? It means we are partners with God and with one another in the body of Christ in comfort. God brought comfort to Paul. You'll read this a little bit later in the reading. And when you get to chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, he tells the whole story about it. How Titus, yes, the same Titus who was a pastor that Paul wrote to in the book of Titus in the New Testament, Titus brought comfort to Paul because he brought Paul good news about that severed relationship between Corinth and Paul. And let me tell you, God will use us like God used Titus and others to bring comfort to others. We are partners with God. We partner with God. We partner with Christ when we bring encouragement to others. Who are the best comforters? Think about this for a minute. Who are the best comforters? Sometimes we go through things in life that is not fun. It's not easy. It's painful. It's humiliating at times. It's damaging at times. It's hurtful. Let me ask you a question I want you to think about some questions. Who are the best comforters? If you buried a child, who better to comfort others who are facing the same thing? If you battled the pain of an addiction, who better to walk that difficult road with someone else that's facing it? If you survived cancer and know what treatments feel like, who better to sit with someone else who's just been diagnosed? I know I'm hitting close to home here this morning. If you've buried a spouse, who better knows the silence of an empty house? If you battle depression, who better knows what it means to feel their lowest in life? Listen to me. Our deepest wounds often become God's greatest tools. God turns scars into sermons. God turns pain into compassion. And let me tell you, our world needs more compassionate people, not judgmental people, whose hearts have been softened by the trials and difficulties of life and in the process been strengthened by God's grace. Who better to comfort others? God comforts us so we may comfort others. Second thing Paul says there is he talks about learning to depend on God. Now, this really struck me big time. Here we are. I've been reading about Apostle Paul all my life, read all of his letters over and over and over and over again, studied many of them in Greek and read right out of what he was saying in original languages. I've read books on Paul and theology and pastoral and the whole gamut of different ways of looking at Paul. And in the midst of it, Paul says something that struck me, and I'm going to read it here in a second. But this is what I want you to see here is when we're learning to depend on God, we're going to have to face up to some things. Here's the first. Suffering has a way of exposing our own securities. Now, listen, you might be thinking, wait a minute, Jason, don't you mean our insecurities? No, our securities. Notice what Paul says here. We were afraid we might not survive. In fact, we felt sure we were going to die. I'm reading from a little bit different translation than this one. But this happened, and this is what struck me. But this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Did you catch the reason why? He said that he went through those things. Let me tell you, everyone has securities that they depend on. Our families, our spouse, our abilities, our strength, our careers, our education, our health, our finances, our retirement plans. All of those things. Yet when trials come or suffering strikes, suddenly we realize how fragile the things we depend on are. It can be gone like that. Even Jesus said that. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't take no thought for tomorrow. Those things can come and go just like that. As easy as the wind blowing. What is he saying? Hardships teach us to rely fully on God and not on other things. Are people. Let me tell you, people will let us down. Things, jobs, money, I mean, anything you can imagine. Paul had been brought to the end of himself, and he's very vulnerable in revealing this. To the utter exhaustion of his own resources, energies, plans, so he could fully depend on God. Now, whatever Paul went through, he doesn't really tell us, and there's been a lot of speculations by commentators about it. It had brought him to the point of letting go and setting his hope fully on the God who raises the dead. Now think about that for a minute. If God can raise the dead, God can be with us no matter what we're going through in life. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're news we hear, whatever it may be. Like Paul, we too know that one day there will be no more suffering. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death. And here's what I want you to think about. As I said at the beginning, you are not alone in what you're facing. Everybody, every human being on earth has faced those kind of things. You are not alone. But here's the other thing. The final chapter of our story is not suffering. It is glory. It's not suffering. It is glory. This is why we cling to hope. Because we have comfort in suffering. Amen and amen. Well, let's take a few moments if you're able to get up and say hi to somebody after listening to that. Be encouraged. The end is not, suffering is not the end of the story. Be encouraged and greet one another this morning. Lamentations.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end.
They are new every morning, new every morning.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Oh, let's sing it again.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning.
Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Now that's some words that we can take with us as we leave this week. Let's join together for our benediction. Go forth with God's comfort. May the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, comfort us in all of our sufferings so that we may be able to comfort others who are suffering. Amen.